Many people claim to have faith, but say their faith is so private, it's not something to be talked about or shared. But the Bible says faith without expression or works or word is dead. So is silent faith real faith?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for this one. It's going to be awesome. If you have not already subscribed to our channel, you should. We have podcasts coming out every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. And if you would like this video right now, that would help us and it would help others get this in their algorithm, right? So if you have any questions or comments about this, please comment down below. Share this with a friend. We'd love for more people to hear this topic right here.
Yeah, that's true. So the Bible draws repeatedly this line between belief and behavior, and it connects them as inseparable, really. You can't have belief without having behavior change. That's the whole essence of faith, is transformation of the soul that shows up in transformation of a life. So to say I can have belief, but it doesn't change my behavior is really a contradiction of terms. It can't happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's interesting is that we like agree to that, but there are many people who say today, like, oh, well, my faith is just a private thing. Like, I don't have to share that. And it's so personal to me that it just, I don't even know how to say it. It's just going to stay inside me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been changed, but it's just, I don't know the words to say, or I don't need to say it. People will just see it, you know,
I can't say it, or I shouldn't say it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to, I mean, real today, I don't want to hurt someone's feelings with what I believe. And so I'm just going to stay here. Right. You know, people, that's a very common thing to hear, you know, or the idea that faith is just for church. It's just, you know, for Sundays. It's just for when I'm at the church. It's not for when I'm at home, when I'm with my family or whatever. It's not for everyday matters, my work or whatever it is, you know. Yep. So faith should remain out of work. You know, faith should remain out of education. Faith should remain out of medication. Faith should remain out of psychology. Faith should remain out of, you know, my relationships, the entertainment that, you know, I enjoy so much. It should stay out of government. It should stay out of politics. It should stay out of everywhere, because it's just so intensely personal.
Yeah. Well, in fact, what you wish for, you actually got. That's where we are today.
Exactly. So, the people saying this,
how's
it's
that
like,
working?
Hey, pal, look around.
Hey, you got what you wanted.
Yeah.
You like it?
And look how great our world is.
Yeah.
So much
look
peace.
Look how good
and
government,
love,
politics, education, entertainment, all that is.
It's like so ungodly.
Because you were silent.
Yep. We've said it before a lot, but I'll say it again. You know, any time you remove God from any one of these segments, something else will fill in the gap. Something else will take its place.
Yeah.
And it's not something that a Christian would want.
No, I mean, he's the author of all of these.
Yes,
every
exactly.
one of these says he's the author of it.
Yes.
He started it and he has the answer for it.
Exactly.
He has the way to it.
Yeah. Yes,
and
even
so,
government for the people who are like, oh, ain't no way, man.
No, he knows exactly how to run that.
Exactly.
And we can know what that is, and we should operate under that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when you choose to say silent, then you get the result of that. You get a culture that removes God from every piece of it.
Exactly.
So yeah, you're right. There are people who say that. And the sad thing is that comes over into church too. You find, and this is really kind of where it starts, really. It's in the church, so therefore it's in the culture, not the other way around. Because people, they come into even their church experience and they say things like, hey, I have an unspoken prayer request, which means I have something very personal that I don't want to say it, but I want to acknowledge it needs to be prayed for. But how in the world can someone pray for it if they don't know exactly what it is? But I get that that's uncomfortable, but there's a point in which our faith must be verbalized. It has to be expressed. Other ways it happens is when people come into a worship and then they don't sing, or they don't have any verbal expression. And I know, I get it. It's difficult. Maybe you're afraid of people are going to think about you.
Yeah.
But faith calls us to verbalize what's in our heart. And yes, singing will be emotional. It's intended to be. That's okay. It's actually a very, very good thing.
And there are 1,000 reasons why you can come up with why I shouldn't, couldn't, blah, blah, you know, whatever the reasons are. You can come up with those all day long and you can stand behind them.
Yep.
And okay, well, guess what? It's only really hindering you.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know? How's that working?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. How is that helping you to express your faith in other areas in your life, you know?
Other place that shows up in the church is people sitting in a Bible study or a group study and not talking about what's going on in their life or not making application of what's going on in their life. Or they want the pastor to not really talk about faith and the real hard parts of life or the real parts of culture, or the real parts of what's going on in their lives. They don't want teaching to be too personal or too the teaching and preaching to be too applicable. Yeah. Let's keep this on a
theological, eschatological,
informational, your religious level separate from my life.
Which it doesn't mean that those people don't believe, right? Correct. It doesn't mean that those people are like bad or whatever, but there is going to be something missing in the lives of those people who don't open up, who don't share, who don't engage in worship, who don't be vulnerable with their prayer requests.
Exactly.
You know, there will be something missing from that.
Yeah. And it spills over into a home. You know, you can get into a home situation where there's little or no talk about spiritual matters, where a husband and wife don't talk about those things. Well, that's just private between the two of us. And it's never verbalized. It's never expressed. And there's no talk about spiritual matters. There's no talk about the Bible. And there's no praying out loud together. And the number of couples I've met that say, oh no, we would never do that. Well, that's sad. You know, they're missing out because there is a connection and there's power, as we're going to see today. There's exponential power that happens whenever you begin to verbalize and express with your mouth what is in your heart.
And just real quick on that, I mean, there was at least a common teaching a while ago. It was like, oh, you shouldn't pray together if you're dating and all that, because it's so personal of a matter. You might as well have just had sex with that person. It's like, come on. Like, if that's the case, why are we praying together at men's breakfast? Or why are we praying together in church? Why are we praying together as a staff? Whatever it may be. I understand that, you know, you want to protect vulnerable. You want to, I don't know, protect whatever kind of thing in there. But the idea is you should pray wherever, with whoever, about whatever, because whenever you remove prayer, you're simply removing unity. You're removing an acknowledgement of God. You know?
And you're taking yourself out of the context that God is a part of my life.
Yes. And so, yes, you should pray with fill in the blank, whoever, about whatever, and whenever.
Yeah. So, it happens in those environments. It happens in culture, happens in church, happens in the home, and it happens personally. Mm-hmm. It happens where people, they make the decision inside that says, I'm not going to talk about what Jesus means to me for whatever reason. I'm not going to talk about the areas where I lean on Jesus today. I'm not going to talk about what God is doing fresh in my life. I'm not going to talk about the latest thing I learned from Scripture or the latest thing that I can understand from Scripture. You know, those are all valuable to express all of that, to express your questions, to express your weaknesses, your vulnerabilities, but to express the promises you're holding on to express the victories you've had in prayer. If you can't verbalize it, then you can't claim that God answered that prayer and celebrate that together. There's power, or even expressing, here is a hope or a dream that God's put in my heart. And I'm believing by faith he's going to answer this prayer. There are people who just say, no, I'm not going to do that. And it calls into question some things as to why is that happening, what you're missing out on. And then, as we're going to see today, it really calls into question of, do you have faith? Do you really
believe? Yeah,
because if it's not expressed, then you've got to question if it's even there to begin with, because the Bible connects them. The Bible doesn't show these as two options. No, one is directly connected to the other.
And it's not like, hey, for the extroverts, do this, hey, well, you're introverted, so you don't really have to do all this stuff. Or same for the other way around.
Right.
Like, oh, you're extroverted, you don't have to pray with another individual. Yeah. You know, but I think that's something that we have made excuses for not needing to express. Like, oh, that's not really my thing. I'd rather be like, you know.
Yep. Or my spouse is not interested. Yeah. My spouse not a Christian.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's like, well,
why would you not then?
I don't see asterisks.
Exactly. So the book of James 2:17 says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, which you could change that to words, expression, mm-hmm. action, mm-hmm. he says is dead. Now, James is that kind of cut and dry yeah. guy, you know. He says if you say you have faith, but there's no outward evidence of it, if you don't speak it, if you don't act on it, he says it's not real faith. Mm-hmm. So there is a connection. Faith mm-hmm. shows up. If you have it, then there has to be a living out of it. Mm-hmm. If it's real in you, it's got to come out of you.
Yeah.
You should be able to speak and say, here's what I believe. Here's what God has said to me. Here's what God has done in me. Here's how he's answered my prayer. Here's how he's changed mm-hmm. me. Here's how he's changing me. Here's what I'm trusting him for. Yeah. Here's what I believe about him.
Mm-hmm.
The connection is not a soft one in scripture. It's a hard yes. connection.
Yes. Because again, he says faith by itself mm. is dead mm. if it does not have works. So if it does have the actions, if it mm. does have the words with it, then mm-hmm. it would be alive. You yeah. would have alive faith. You would have yeah. faith that is, you know, like a relationship, you yeah. know, more than just I'm in this camp, you yeah. know, but this is how I live. This yeah. is what fuels me
yeah.
when there's words to it, whenever there's expression to it.
Yep. Yeah. If you have let's say you have a tree in your backyard and you say, this tree is alive. I say, well, I don't see any leaves on this tree.
Yeah.
Well, it's alive.
It's alive. I promise. But
it's not ever put out any fruit. Mm-hmm. No, it's alive. Mm-hmm. So, well, it See, looks there. Like the branches are falling off and they're cracked and they're hard and they're dry. No, it's alive.
Yeah.
Well, you're just denying the reality that mm-hmm. it's not. Mm-hmm. It at its source, at its roots, it's dead. And so the Bible makes this connection and it really brings into question this whole idea. And our goal here today is not cause anyone to stumble in their faith. It should be to encourage you in your faith that mm-hmm. if you have real faith, it should show up in your action, but more specifically your word. So let's talk about what all that means.
Yeah. I mean, again, like the Bible defines faith more along the lines of if it's not faith unless you are actually speaking it. Like we just said, the Bible is saying if you have faith, then you should say something mm-hmm. about it. You mm-hmm. should take what's in you and bring it out of you. And yeah. that is the essence of what faith really is, yeah. right?
This is really how salvation begins.
Yeah.
If you're exactly. saved, this is where it begins. And the Bible exactly. puts those two things together very clearly and mm-hmm. with a hard line connection, mm-hmm. not soft, but a hard line. In Romans 10, verse 8, it says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart.
Yeah.
That is the word of faith, which we are preaching. And then two yeah. verses later, he would say, for with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, mm-hmm. and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation.
Yeah.
Wow.
So again, two different actions, but coming together
yep.
to produce something,
yep.
you know, where it's in your heart or in the core of who you are. It mm-hmm. is that like internal faith. Wow, this is personal to me. Mm-hmm. Yet at the same time, moving to my mouth and speaking outwardly, confessing mm-hmm. The truth.
Yeah. You might be on your way to having salvation by believing in your heart, mm-hmm. but there has to be a public demonstration of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not just one time, but ongoing. And so mm-hmm. when people come to me and they want to talk about being saved and coming to Christ, we'll have that conversation. We'll walk through all of that, what that means. And then I'm going to be asking for a public demonstration of that, some kind of way that you are declaring that you belong to Christ. And the Bible gives us baptism as that picture. Yep. And it's when we're say, well, I want to believe, but I just don't want anyone to know about it. You know, I don't want to be baptized and mm-hmm. I certainly don't want to be in front of a bunch of people. And mm-hmm. I really don't want anyone to know this. Uh-oh. Well, we got some issues here, yeah. you know. I need to know why that is, but both of those are necessary. You believe, yeah. and then you speak. You believe in your heart, and you speak it outwardly. This is yeah. how life begins for us as yeah. as followers.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, real faith is such a powerful force that it cannot be contained.
Yeah.
And it has to speak.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, for the one who truly has been impacted by the goodness of God, mm-hmm. you're going to say, hey, I've been impacted by yeah. the goodness of God.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be like, wow, this is an incredible thing. I'm probably not going to tell anyone about yeah. this though.
Hey, if I'm at home and Heather's made a meal and it's good, if she makes it, yeah. I'm going to say, That is so good. I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
No, you're not because I'm faking it.
Yeah.
I just want to impress her. I'm going to say, this is delicious. This is amazing. And I'm probably going to say it 3 or 4 times.
Exactly.
Usually, you know?
Yeah.
Because if it's in me, I'm going to say it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we have this passage here from 2 Corinthians 4. It says, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, it says, I believed, therefore I spoke. Mm. We also believe, therefore also we speak. So the direct correlation to we believe, so we speak.
Yep.
Right? And so we begin to walk in that way. And that may require time in how you speak and what you speak and understanding, you know, when to speak or whatever, you know. But nonetheless, it is the direct correlation with what God has done in your life and that you would speak, right?
Yeah.
Not that's just reserved for like an evangelist or that's just reserved for like the crazier people or whatever. No, it's for all who are believers. We with the same spirit of faith, we speak, right? Because that is what we have seen. That's what the Spirit does in us, right? And then the biggest thing, and kind of what we've been getting at here, is that there is power in saying out loud what is in your heart. Mm. Because whenever you're saying what is in you and you begin to speak it out loud, it begins to concrete and it begins to solidify the things that you actually are expressing. What you're feeling become expression. And then it's like, oh, okay, I actually do believe this. I'm telling other people.
Yeah.
And so with me having to think, okay, how do I put this into words? Okay, wow. Yeah, that is actually what I've experienced. And now I'm telling someone else, you know?
I can't tell the number of times that's happened where I've had a thought and I've been curious about something. Then I think, no, this is right. And when I say it, I mean, now it becomes real at a different level.
Yeah.
It's strange how that happens. But once I express it, then there's a greater reality to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Again, like, we'll get into a little bit more, but just short, praying in your mind is really, really easy. But then it's like, all right, pray out loud. And you're like, oh, well, I don't know if I actually can muster up the strength to say all that stuff.
Yeah,
so we'll get there. But
yeah.
Here's a test. If you don't believe us in what we're saying, ask your wife or your husband, you know, if you're married, if they want you to keep your love silent. If you are asking mom, because shout out, I am his son here.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm actually not going to verbalize my love to you because it's just so deeply,
it's
intensely
so personal. I can't even begin to express it.
I just can't. And she would go, you know what? I totally understand that. No, it would be like, hey, well, maybe let's try finding some words to it. You know, let me try to help you out.
Exactly.
You know? Again, ask yourself if you would want them to keep their love secret from you.
True.
Odds are you're going, hello, can I find a way to help you express this?
Yeah.
Can I find a way to like, do you need me to do something new that you will express, you know, your actual love for me? You know,
because the conclusion would be, well, if you can't say it, how do I know it's even in there?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Or I'm going to conclude that I would imagine a husband would conclude, maybe they don't, if they can't say it.
Yeah, and they haven't said it for however long.
Yeah, then
they don't
maybe
know.
They don't.
Yeah, exactly. Same for, you know, if you are an employer and you have workers, you know, who never either express anything to you or you never express anything to them, odds are that relationship's not going to be too great.
Yeah.
You know, so there needs to be a verbalizing of what is going on inwardly in order to solidify the things that are actually in you, right?
That's true. Because whatever's in you, it will come up out of you.
Yeah.
It has to. It cannot stay in there.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jesus makes this on a couple of points in the Gospels. Mm-hmm. In Luke 6:45, he said, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out. If it's in there, it comes out. And he said, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. So it doesn't matter what's in there, it's going to come out. And then Jesus makes this statement, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. So there it is. Whatever's in will come up and it will come out and it will define it. So in Matthew 12:34, you see Jesus saying something similar, but this time he's talking to some people who are by Jesus' own words, hypocrites. They pretend to be religious outwardly, but their speech betrays them. And he says to them, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." There it is again. Yeah, so
super nice line.
That's right.
Super kind.
He's always so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so here Jesus is laying out this principle, this truth about life, is that whatever is in the heart will come out. And if you have faith, it will come out.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's not coming out, then you must stop and see what's going on.
Yeah.
What's blocking it from coming out?
And
Or does it exist there?
Yeah,
because if it's not coming out, there's a reason, and it must and it should be investigated.
And again, it's not always because someone's like not actually saved or doesn't actually have faith. That's not always the case. But like you're saying, something is blocking the way there. You know, is it a fear of what someone might think? Is it past experiences you've had? You know, what is it that it might be blocking that way?
Yep.
And then for the one who doesn't have faith, well, what is preventing you from believing?
Yeah. So here's the real punchy part for me that I just love. The fact that whenever we speak out of our faith, there is real power that happens. Mm-hmm. And the opposite is true. You can have a belief inside, but if you never speak it out loud where you hear it, others hear it, the enemy hears it, the opposition hears it, then you're not going to experience the power that God intended that faith to have. So here's some verses. So Jesus said in Matthew 17, he says, "If you have faith, you will say to this mountain." So there's the connection again. Mm-hmm. If you have faith and confidence that God is true, his word is powerful, and his spirit is powerful, and his promises are true, then you will speak and you'll even be able to say to what stands in your way and say, "Be moved." Mm-hmm. And so here is faith speaking. You will say to this mountain. It doesn't say, if you have faith, you will think inside your heart about a mountain that's in your way. No, you say something. You have to speak it. Mm-hmm. In Luke 17, it says, "And the Lord said, if you had faith, you would have said to this mulberry tree."
Yeah.
So again, here's Jesus putting together, speaking comes out of faith, and that's where the power is. So this is the sad reality that sometimes as believers, the mountain still stands in our way, and the reason is not because we didn't have faith inside, it's that we wouldn't speak that faith outside.
Come on.
And it could have been removed. The opposition could have gone away. Mm-hmm. The resistance could have been thwarted. Mm-hmm. You could have had a clear path. You could have seen God provide. You could have seen the miraculous happen, but you wouldn't say it out loud.
Yeah.
And therefore, you didn't get to experience it. See, faith says out loud, and it says what it believes with confidence. Hebrews talks about faith being the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one thing to believe in your heart that what God has said.
Yeah.
That's good.
And necessary.
It's essential. It's step one.
Mm-hmm.
But step two is you speak it next.
Yeah.
And you say, even out loud, "God, I believe you hear me and will answer me according to your promises." Or, "God, I trust that you are here in this room with me right now. I trust that you are working all things together for my good." It's one thing to think that inside. It's powerful when you say it, even to yourself.
And it's almost, it is awkward to verbalize that.
Yes.
Especially if it's just you in a room.
Yes.
And you're going to be like, "God, I trust you're with me."
Yes.
I mean, that is literally requires faith to say that.
Yes.
To say and be like, "I am believing this."
Yeah. It takes one level of faith to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
It takes another level of faith to say it.
Yeah. It's ultra easy to think it.
Oh.
It just goes, whoop.
All day long.
All right, done. Yep. I can think this all day long.
Yep.
But then again, like you're saying, step two is like believing it.
Yeah.
Step three is verbalizing it.
Yeah. And this is real for me because I can be just real heady and internal, and I got lots of things going on, you know, and I can think it and be confident about it even in here. But when I started reading some of these verses and some other verses related to this, I start realizing, I've been missing out on this piece here. I have not been saying out loud. So I, as you said, awkward. It's just me in a room. I don't have to say this. I can just think it in here. And it's, but saying it out loud, it did something. It, it made it, like you said, it turned it into concrete. It went from wet to fixed to dry in that moment when I said it out loud.
Yeah. And I almost would say, like we said, step one, two, and three being like, I can think it and then believe it and then say it. And I, it sometimes is think it, say it. Now I can believe it because I've said it and I'm putting my faith in the fact that God, God said this, I'm confirming it. Yes. Now I believe it.
Yeah. And so then I've added to that. Okay. Well, I'm going to say out loud more.
I'm going in on
to
this.
To my wife, my staff, kids, friends.
Yeah.
I'm going to start saying these things that God has put in my heart, even though they may sound whack, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny how we hear it in our own head and it sounds like, okay,
you're like, I'm fired up about this. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you think, well, I should say something to someone. I don't know. Yep. You know? No. If it's here, say it there.
Yep.
And prove so it's good. Worth and trust so and good. Trusting God in that.
Yep.
Again, the Bible speaks to this issue. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have toward Him that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. There's this verbalizing. There's this belief that I'm going to put into my words what I'm believing God to have said. And then in Mark, Jesus says, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. There is power and punch to not just believing it, but saying it and having confidence about it. Because I don't want to leave miracles on the table that could have been mine, but I just wouldn't say it out loud. I wouldn't claim it. And if you're going to say it out loud, you got to claim it.
Yeah.
You got to own it.
Yeah. That is the action of owning it, essentially. Yeah. You know, it's like,
I am putting me connected to that.
Yep.
I'm going to own it in front of other people. Yeah. I'm going to own it in front of myself.
Yep. Again, like the verse doesn't read, therefore I tell you, whatever you think in your mind in prayer, believe that you've received it and it will be yours. It says ask.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah, you can think like mentally asking, but what really asking is saying it.
Yep.
Again, like I can, in my mind, think, I really hope you do this. Really hope you do this. But you don't have a clue, you
exactly.
know? And yes, God knows your thoughts.
Yes.
And yes, God is omniscient. And yes, He's all powerful.
Yep.
And so He does know your thoughts, but He acts on faith.
I mean,
he
if a person's not saved until they have believed and confessed, then how much more is a prayer, a promise not acted on by God until we have believed and spoken it?
It's good. Fires me up.
Yeah, exactly. So the other thing that I've noticed about this and that we see in scripture is that there is a fresh power that happens even in my own life when I begin to speak out loud what God has said to me and what God says in His word. That there's this moment where I all of a sudden believe it with such confidence that I'll own it and I'll say it. So you have this interesting verse in Romans 10:6 where he writes and says, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. So he's contrasting living by the law, living by I have to do to receive God's favor and keep the sacrifices and keep the law to get enough favor. I'm gonna measure my life and define it by my abilities to do right. He says, the man who does those things shall live by them. In other words, if you're going to go down that path, you got to do it all the way and all the time. And no one can do that.
Yeah.
Thus, you come to the end of the ability of the law. But then he says this in that same verse. He says, but the righteousness of faith speaks. It believes, and then it speaks. So he's saying, trying to atone for your own sin, trying to make it in your own way, trying to bring about it in your own strength is a dead end. But those who believe by faith what Jesus has done, those who believe in the purpose and the promise of God's word, they will speak based on those promises and they will say them with faith. Mm-hmm. So here's what that turns into. So let's say you're facing a temptation. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, you realize I'm being tempted. Well, a lot of people, including myself, have done this. In that moment, you start to say things like, oh, I'm such a loser, man. I can't do anything. I'm such a sinner. I'm bad. Mm-hmm. I need to try to do better.
Yeah. This must be me. Yeah. This temptation must be me.
Yeah. That is all not faith speaking. Mm-hmm. That is all
condemnation
speaking, which the law condemns. Mm-hmm. And what happens is if you say when you're tempted, I'm such a loser, I'm such a sinner, I'm so bad, I know what's going to happen next. You'll give in to the sin. Mm-hmm. You will fail. Mm-hmm. Instead, if we spoke the righteousness of faith when we're tempted, you will find greater victory. Now, here's where this is going to get awkward, mm-hmm. but it's true. When you are facing a temptation, that is the moment for you to say, based on your word, God, I am dead to sin and I am alive to you. In fact, I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. When you start speaking that truth and the righteousness of faith starts speaking that, you will find transformation. You'll find power come alive in you all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Now you're speaking the truth, whereas before you were just speaking condemnation upon yourself. Now you're speaking life-giving truth. And this is how you grow your faith. This is how you change. This is how you break habits even.
Yeah.
You start saying, I am dead to sin. I am no longer going to be a slave of sin. I am no longer a slave to sin even.
Yeah.
I am now alive to God in Christ Jesus. He has made me alive. He has put his spirit within me. In fact, he has called me blameless and I am the righteousness of God in him. You start saying that, that desire,
the
temptation is going to disappear. You're going to start recognizing who you are and you're going to walk in that truth.
Yep.
And this is how you break habits. This is how you grow your faith. This is how you move forward in the faith.
Yeah. I mean, it's the idea of like, or I think the thing that messes people up with this is like, oh, but I'm not that yet. I'm not dead to all my sins yet. I don't know if I'm alive to God. So what do you say to that person? It's like, well, but I still struggle with these temptations, but I still don't know if I am more than a conqueror.
Who does God say you are? That's what you ought to be saying about yourself. Don't be saying to yourself what you say about yourself.
Yeah.
Say what God says about you. And he says, you are the righteousness of God in my son, Jesus Christ. You are a new creation in him. You are dead to sin. You are alive to me now. I have made peace and you have come to peace with me through Jesus Christ. You start speaking those truths, it changes you.
Yeah.
It's not what you are right now. It's not what you think you are. It's what God says you are.
Yeah.
And that's what faith does. Faith speaks what God says instead of what I see.
Yeah.
So I've read some books over the years that have been good. I've read a few lately that have been very helpful. Mm-hmm. One of them I'm still working on. And we've talked about a little bit here. This is not even a Christian book, but the principles in it are true. It's called Atomic Habits. And in that, I think, Trey, you said Chloe has read this.
Yeah.
Heather's listening to it. And I haven't started it yet. I'm working on some other books. But it's this idea that there are tiny changes you can make that lead to remarkable results. Mm-hmm. It's kind of their byline. But it really is based on what you believe and say about yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and we might have said this in the last podcast, but what you say about yourself is what you will do with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll repeat the illustration anyway. You know, if there's two people who are offered a cigarette, both have been previous smokers, and the first person says, oh, no, thank you. I'm not a smoker.
Mm-hmm. They just previously were.
Yeah, they've just identified with what the new creation in them is. Mm-hmm. They've given themselves this new identity. But the other one says, oh, no, thank you. I'm trying to quit.
Yeah.
Well, you've just identified yourself as one who is trying it out. And what will happen is you will fail.
Yeah.
Because you have just admitted that you'll do that as long as it's not too hard.
Yeah, exactly.
And you'll fail in that.
Yep.
Yeah, so Christian books, though, I also have read Craig Rochelle's Winning the War in Your Mind. It's another very good book. And this is where you change real life habits is when you change your real thinking and your belief. Mm-hmm. And then I know people have a lot of different views on Stephen Furtick, but I'm reading his new book, Do the New You. And it is, I'm about quarter way in. And it, from what I can tell so far, is all biblically based. Mm-hmm. And it's the encouragement for us to walk in what God says we are. Say what that is. Mm-hmm. Say, I am called of God. Mm-hmm. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Mm-hmm. I am a new creation.
Yeah.
What you say is what you will do. Mm-hmm. And if you don't speak that, you won't have any power in that.
Exactly.
And if you're speaking the opposite, you sure aren't going to have any mm-hmm. help with that. If mm-hmm. you say, I'm no good at yeah. any of that. I'm yeah. no good at reading the Bible. I'm no good at praying. Mm-hmm. Whatever you say, as Furtick says, you get to keep that.
Yeah, it's true.
You get to just be that. Yeah. So there ought to be that we are speaking faith. I'm speaking what God says. I'm speaking it even before it's happened. So I'm going to say, I am alive to God in Christ Jesus. I am yeah. dead to sin. I am declared blameless. Mm-hmm. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. I stand against every wile of the enemy. I am chosen before the foundation of the world. I am accepted in heaven through Jesus. You will do what you speak, mm-hmm. and faith speaks. So I've experienced this with whatever new habit or mm-hmm. new strategy or task mm-hmm. or talent I want to undertake. If I speak defeat, it'll be defeat. Mm-hmm. If I give in to the weakness, I will own that weakness. If I say, you know, again, man, I'm not good at reading my Bible. Well,
yeah.
You get to keep that.
Yeah, exactly.
If you say, I'm not good at praying, well, you get to keep that too. Yep. If you say, I'm not a good Christian, I'm not good in social situations,
yeah.
you get to keep that.
Yeah.
If you say, well, I have anxiety issues, well, you get to keep that. You just made an agreement with it. You've just owned it.
Yeah.
You say, well, I'm terrible at diets. Well, guess what? You get to keep that too.
Exactly.
I have fill in the blank disability, you mm-hmm. know, whatever it is, you get to keep that. I'm not a good friend. I'm a rotten sinner. My heart deceitfully wicked. Well, you own all of that and mm-hmm. you get to keep all of that mm-hmm. because you've claimed it
exactly
as your own.
Yeah. And you know, like in the book Atomic Habits, one of the other things they talk about is the idea of like, say you want to get into running or something like that. You would say, I am a runner, even though you don't have any experience in it.
Yep.
And you begin to ask yourself the questions, okay, what does a runner do? Mm-hmm. Does a runner stay up all night long and then sleep in and then just play video games? No. A runner goes to sleep early, wakes up early, stretches, and goes and starts running, you know? And so you begin to ask yourself, okay, I read my Bible. Well, what does that look like? Does that look like I need to set up a time in which I do read my Bible? Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, is it just going to happen naturally? No, it's odds are it's not going to happen. You're like, oh, what do you know? I'm actually reading the Bible with intention. No. Right. And so we need to ask ourselves those questions when we begin to do these things, whenever we want to start new habits or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I understand you might say, well, that just feels so fake. I feel like I'm saying something I'm not. You are saying something you're not, but it's not fake. It's actually faith.
Yes.
The righteousness of faith speaks.
Yeah, exactly.
And so when I pray to receive Christ and I proclaim that, I say, I am a new creation in Christ. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like it yet, but I'm going to proclaim what God said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In faith, believing that I am.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you move forward. That's what faith does. Yeah. Faith claims what God says about it over my feelings in the moment.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not the idea of like, I'm going to manifest my own reality and it's going to be all like this, you know, but it's, I am saying this because God has said this and I'm affirming this in my life. And that's why we make such a big deal about verbal affirmations. Yep. You know, that's why we make a big deal about telling yourself the truth out loud.
Yes.
Again, because it solidifies.
Yes.
And because you're putting your faith in that, you know, you're putting your faith in what God has said. So back on the topic of prayer and speaking out loud with prayer, what happens if your mind, if you're just praying in your mind and you have these like thought prayers and they're kind of like just intermingled in your thought life and you're like, I'm going to pray and like, blah, 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 you know, you get all fired up and all this kind of stuff. you're eventually probably going to ask the question, does God really even hear my prayers? Mm-hmm. Are my prayers even effective? Mm-hmm. Are my prayers doing anything? Yeah. Because I've been praying all day long.
Yep.
But I don't know, does God really hear me? And I haven't seen things change in my life.
Yep.
Well, here we go.
Yeah.
This is where the rubber meets the road. Yeah. This is where your prayer life can incredibly change whenever you move from just mental prayers now into verbal prayers, right?
Yep.
So look at a couple of these passages, and this is from Psalms. Many of the Psalms. I'm going to read just a couple verses from them, but you just look at this for any amount of time. You look at some of the Psalms and you see many times that it talks about a verbal declaring to God, right? So from this one right here, Psalm 21:2, it says, "You have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips." So the heart has a desire and it's not, and you have not withheld the thoughts in his mind about his heart's desire, but the heart's desire, I'm now using my mouth to ask for my desires.
Yep.
Lord, would you do this?
Yep.
Would you move in me? Would you change this in me?
I'm believing this promise from you.
Yes, and I'm believing you hear me.
Yeah.
Well, whenever you put your words to your heart's desire and you're acting in faith, God, I'm praying, believing that you hear me.
Yep.
You are going to see something change.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if you don't believe me, I'm just challenging you to try it, right?
Yeah.
So a couple other verses here from Psalm 5. This is verses 1-3. It says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord." Right there. Mm-hmm. That is I'm verbally saying this so God will hear me, right? And then also follows it up with, "Consider my meditation." So yes, the verbal and the mental. Not that God can't know your thoughts. Obviously, we know he knows all things, right? So give ear to my words and consider my meditations. And it says, "Give heed to my voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up." You can't get around that without recognizing this is a verbal prayer this guy is talking about.
That's
here.
True.
This is a action of faith that he's taking as well.
Yep.
Because it's easy. Like we said, all day long, you can think prayers. Anyone can think prayers, right?
Yep.
You can think all sorts of things directed towards God and this. But for the one who verbally prays, that's different.
It
right is. Because you're going to go, this is awkward.
Yeah.
Like, you can say all sorts of things in your mind, but whenever you begin to put words to it, you're nailing down certain words and you are locking it in and saying, this is what I'm asking God.
And God, as that Psalm indicates in the rest of scripture as well, God is drawn to that.
Yes.
He sees and knows all things. I understand that, but he has a special attention that happens and he's looking for in those who have that level of faith.
Yes.
I mean, the scripture says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking those whose hearts are," now depending on which version you read, "faithful or perfect toward him." But it's this idea of who will have that level of faith that they'll be willing to say it, to demonstrate it. And God is drawn to those, and he works on their behalf.
Yes. So another, just two verses out of this that continue to confirm this. This is Psalm 4, verse 1. It says, "Hear me when I call, O God." Again, verbal, not "hear me when I think."
Yep.
"Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer."
Yeah.
A verbal crying out, "Lord, hear my prayer."
Yep.
Not "read my mind," but "hear my prayer."
Right.
With that also in verse 4 of Psalm 4, it says, "Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still." And so there is the component of both.
Right.
Yes, think the prayers.
Yep.
Have it meditate in your mind. Like, think thoroughly on these things, but don't let it stop there.
Mm-hmm.
Continue it with the verbal expression of prayer, and you will begin to believe that God hears you, right?
Yep.
You will say, "All right, I'm putting faith to this, and I believe, God, that you hear me when I call, when I cry out to you."
Yep.
That's different, right?
Yep, it's true. And, you know, every part of our walk with Christ takes on a different component whenever you begin to speak it out loud.
Yeah.
Whether it's interactions with others or prayer, it's true for worship as well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I know, I understand this in worship. I've gone through a lot of growth in this area in my own self. I remember days, years in the past when I felt awkward singing, you know, I didn't want anyone to hear me sing. It felt awkward to me, even personally, but there is something about verbalizing even your worship. And whether it's through tears, whether it's through joy of verbalizing that. Psalm 63, verse 3 says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you.
Yeah.
It didn't, so it didn't say heart or memories
thoughts.
It's my lips. God shows up in a different way when his people actively, verbally praise, when they engage to the level that is going to leave my internal and get into the external. Worship becomes something very, very different in that moment.
Yeah.
So I think the whole of Scripture, as we've seen today, what we've read, bears out this truth. There is power when we speak what we believe. There is another level of power that happens. God is drawn to it. God acts. Mountains are moved.
Yes.
Obstacles are removed whenever we're willing to speak it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage us all today with this idea that if you want to grow your faith, then practice putting faith in your lips.
Yeah.
So that may mean a lot of different things. It could mean praying out loud.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be yelling.
No.
You know, you don't have to. If you get up early in the morning and your family's still asleep, you don't have to be so loud as to wake them up. And maybe that's the reason Scripture says get in your closet. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, you pray.
Verbalize.
You pray, you verbalize it. Where it's where you hear it and you say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
It may mean at times even reading Scripture out loud.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about reading it, saying it, and hearing yourself say it that solidifies and creates the concrete.
Yeah. It's just like, again, it's nice getting a text from your spouse that says, I love you. It's different whenever you're verbalizing and they're verbalizing, I love you.
Yes.
That's different.
Completely. You know? Even memorizing and meditating Scripture. If you're going to meditate on Scripture, there's power in memorizing it and saying it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
There's power in that. And then singing out loud. If that's not something you do, then begin.
Yeah.
Attempt.
Yep.
It may start as a whisper. It may start as a low rumble. It might just stay a low rumble.
Mm-hmm.
I've never met anybody in church who complained about someone else's off-key singing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe a few times. No, not really. Because everybody in the room knows this. Everybody in the room knows, well, I'm not a good singer. We're not here because we're, you know, ready to be on, you know, some TV show because of our great singing. That's not the point.
Exactly.
We're here because we're here to worship the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then talking out loud to someone you know and trust about your faith.
Yeah.
What God is doing in you, what God is saying in you, questions you have, promises you're believing. There's power in that. And then especially when you're facing temptation or struggle.
Verbalize
the promises of God. Remind yourself who you are. Speak the truth in your heart and in your mouth. And I promise you, based on God's word, you will see God move in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You will find him actually moving the mountain that's in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say have faith and speak to this mountain and then you have to do it yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
God moves in that moment.
Yeah.
So
good.
Man, such a great truth today, such encouragement and reality as usual.
We're
aiming at the real stuff of life. So if one of these books is an encouragement to you, these verses today, I pray they would be. I pray that that what we say and do here at Vertical, of lifting him up and living him out, would become part of a verbal expression for you. As you verbalize your faith, you will see him move in ways greater than you could have ever imagined. So thanks for being with us today. Share with a friend and come see us in person at Vertical Church of Ovilla.